This is Jenny Allen, and you are listening to the Made for This podcast.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back. It's Kate Allen Summers and my mom. Say hi.
Hi, guys.
And we're back.
My name is Jenny Allen, if you're just
joining in. And we're going through her book, Untangle Your Emotions. Welcome to the club.
We're glad you're here. Today, we're going to talk about feeling your emotions. Now, we talked about noticing, and we've talked about naming, and now we're going to actually feel. And it does feel a little anticlimactic, like, how do you just feel? Like, how do I boss y'all around and tell you to go feel? But I do think there is a process and a way for you to actually absorb and to feel your feelings. And we're going to talk about it today. If you're reading along with us, we are on chapter 10 in the book. And I hope you are. I hope you've gathered friends. I hope this is a podcast like Get Out of Your Head and Find Your People have been. Those seasons have been listened to over and over again, used for book clubs. And I hope you all will gather your people because that is the greatest way to heal. If you've been listening so far alone, I would go ahead and schedule like, hey, would y'all do this whole season with me and read the book with me? And let's grow together in this because we never learn more and grow more than when we are walking with God and learning about his ways for us together with our people. All right. Kate, tell me, this is something you're good at. So tell me what it's like to be good at feeling your feelings.
Well,
do you have a story?
You see, y'all, she always makes this distinction, like she's a fixer, I'm the feeler, but I think it's all relative. And I think that I still do a lot of things on the other end of the spectrum as far as like fixing and coping, even if it looks different. Like, for example, I had a panic attack yesterday and I haven't had one in probably 2 years. And I really think what it was is in some anxiety, I was juggling a lot of things. And I think for a good 2 weeks, I was just in go mode and I needed to get stuff done. And yesterday, something just kind of pushed me over the edge and it manifested in my body in a way that it like forced its way out and forced me to feel it because I wasn't letting myself feel it naturally while I was going through my school or my work or all the things. Like I think in this chapter, it so talks about just like, you know, I could have taken time during my work day to pause and acknowledge like what I'm doing is really hard and it is stressful, but also just like get my head up in it and, or like bring my husband in if I'm working and he's at home too. And
or my mom.
And I do. And we went on a walk yesterday too before it. And even then, like we processed things and I still just needed to cry by myself. Yeah. And so in that, it's going to force its way out. And so, yeah, that's a more extreme example. And I know some people feel like a more numbness long term and things like that. But I do want to just see the people that, you know, panic attacks can manifest in a lot of different ways. And for me, it's just kind of uncontrollable crying, difficulty breathing.
Well, a lot of people feel anxiety right now. And one of the leading causes of anxiety is suppressing other emotions. So when you suppress anger, when you suppress sadness, when you even suppress certain types of fear, it comes out as anxiety because you haven't actually faced or dealt with other things. And so I think that's a compelling reason even to notice and to feel sadness. And I, you know, the most recent one I can think of where I really felt my feelings and I was so proud of myself. It was 2 weeks ago and I shared about this on Instagram kind of. I shared the circumstance, which was a friend called me out. I think I told you about this.
Yeah.
I told you who it was. Yeah. It's somebody I really respect. Mm-hmm. And they reached out and said, we need to talk and confronted me about something. And oh my goodness, it devastated me. And it was a small thing, but it had really hurt them. And it really broke my heart. And I was embarrassed and I was sad. And I got off the phone and we had reconciled and I knew we would be okay. I knew our relationship would be fine. But I still just felt embarrassed and I still felt sad. And I got off the phone and I crawled into bed. It was late and I cried. And I felt like it was good. I really gave it to the Lord. I was like, Lord, I know you know how I'm feeling right now. And I know you can heal this. And I'm just going to trust you with it. And I just, that night was hard. But I woke up the next day and I felt a lot of freedom. And I saw that person not long after that, a day or two later, and just gave him the biggest hug. And everything was so reconciled and better. But I've had to get more and more comfortable with those feelings. And so in that moment, even like dealing with that reconciliation and feeling embarrassed and feeling the weight of my actions and words and how it affected them, I think I wasn't so afraid of that. It was like, I knew the conversation would be hard. I knew I would probably feel that way. And I didn't run from it. And I didn't make excuses for it. And I was able to be present with their disappointment in me. Yeah. And I think it's just because I'm a little more comfortable with all of that. It was amazing because of the relationship. I think it healed because I wasn't afraid. Does that make sense? I wasn't nervous.
Yeah.
And I dealt with it head on. And I think we were able to heal. And I think I was able to heal because I felt those feelings and I wasn't afraid to feel them.
Yeah. And I remember, you know, days after when you'd be in a situation where like part of the situation was you just misspoke, like kind of in a moment of hurry, you talked before you thought. And I just remember days after, like, you were feeling insecurity and fear just around
that. I'd do it again.
Yes. Yeah. And like so much of your job is speaking in really high pressure environments. But I remember we were sitting and processing something, and you even, as that was rising up in you, you acknowledged it and brought me into it and even just felt it in the little moments after. Because it's not just that night after it happened did a good job feeling it. It wasn't that you didn't do a good job feeling it, but there's still little things, and you made space for that in a way that I felt like was really healthy.
Yeah, and it's cool because it was actually right before IF Gathering, like 3 days before IF Gathering. Yeah. So that was intense. It was I just released a book. I just in the Florida State baptisms. Yeah. I had just spoken almost every night for a week.
Yeah.
And so I was right in the middle of a lot of speaking. And it took me a little bit more time. And it probably still will come up just of how quickly we can hurt and not even mean to, you know?
I want to talk about, it's such an abstract thought. Like, I feel like even when we jumped into this and even you asked me, like, what does it look like to feel your emotions? I was I don't know where to take that. Yeah. And I think some people might feel that about this chapter and this concept.
Yeah.
For you, how do we make this forward moving, or like, rather than like this, like, I'm sitting in this.
Well, how do you not get stuck in a feeling?
Like, what's the difference between feeling a feeling in like a good and healthy way versus just like sitting and dwelling in it?
Yeah. Well, it's a really fine line, because when it becomes unhealthy, you know, largely you aren't even aware. It's just happened on accident.
Yeah.
And I think it's, you know, somebody reached out on an Instagram comment today about this subject and just said, listen, Lot's wife was told, don't look back, and she looked back and died. And I was like, okay, that's intense. So we shouldn't look back. And I was like, well, okay, let's remember the context of why Lot's wife looked back, that she was wanting and longing for her old life, wanting things that were not of God, that God had said to leave behind. We're talking about healing. We're talking about going back to places and feelings we might need to feel so that, and I want to be so clear on this, so that we can heal. The abundant life God promises us is not absent of pain. It is through our pain. When we feel our pain, when we feel our disappointment, when we feel our grief, we are blessed, the Bible says. Happy are those who mourn. Why? Because we get more of God. So there is something through mourning that we get that makes us happy, that makes us whole, that makes us full, and we want to avoid it. But yet, over and over again, you see that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character produces hope, and all of these things happen because of pain in our lives. So we can't be afraid to go back and look at pain in our lives. We can't be afraid to feel pain in our lives, because we know as Christians that through that pain, we can experience more wholeness and fullness. But I say that because I need everyone to know this book has an end point. Like, it's not sadness. Sadness is not the end point.
Right.
No, sadness is required to get to the end point, but the end point is wholeheartedness. The end point is fully connected to God and to the people that you love. That is the end point. The end point is not sadness. The end point is not fear. The end point is not anger. But to get to that point of wholeheartedness and to get to the point of restoration and healing, potentially in some of your closest relationships, even relationship with God, to heal in your relationship with God, because many, many, many people are hurt by God. They feel abandoned by Him. They feel angry at Him. The road to that healing is not ignoring all that. The road to that healing is through all of that. And so to dispel all the lies and the reasons that we're afraid to feel is simply allowing you to participate on the road to healing. Because when, as you feel, you begin to heal. I think that is a helpful view of it, because I'm not saying stay sad for the rest of your life. Are you crazy? No, that is not the place I want you to be. Nobody, God does not want you to live there. There is an abundant life that God has for you, but it is not absent of suffering. And the Bible is super clear of that. So what does it look like? I mean, I think it looks like not being afraid of that feeling, not being afraid to look back at the places that pain has been a part of your story. And is there anything in there that needs healing? You know, I needed to pay attention to when I was reacting so strongly to you potentially moving. I needed to pay attention to that feeling of abandonment I was feeling that had come from childhood, but it also come from, you know, your dad and his health issues. Like there were things there to pay attention to. Now, I'm not going to dwell there, but I'm going to go there for the purpose of healing. And when we go there for the purpose of healing and to bring those things to God and to bring those things to each other, we begin to heal. So we look back, we aren't afraid, and we allow ourselves to feel the feeling, whatever that is, in whatever moment that is. And it may be something you have to pause. And I talk about that in the book, that this isn't necessarily the right time for everyone to feel everything. But at some point, you've got to feel it and to face it, or it will stay stored inside of you, like on a shelf in a box. It'll just stay there and it'll come out in very inopportune times. And then we just not be afraid to persist with it, that we, you know, some people are going through so much. I think of my sister, who, Katie, who's just been through so much, and I talk about her in the book as well. She's going to be in a cyclical season of grief and a cyclical season of suffering. And so this isn't something that's just one time and she's done. This is something that she walks through, and then other things are required of her, and then she'll revisit it if she needs to, and she'll continue to do that and to heal. And she's had to learn, like, okay, a lot of my life might stay hard for a long time, and I can live with that. I can still find joy in the midst of difficulty. But the way she's done that is to really grieve the difficult things in her life.
Well, I had kind of a fun little surprise a couple weeks ago, because I opened my front door and there was a box sitting there waiting for me from Factor. If you've heard of Factor, you'll know, like, it's different than any of the other meal delivery options, because they are delicious and they're ready to eat. So they've never been frozen, and they're fresh and they're healthy and they're ready in 2 minutes. So you get to choose from a weekly menu of 35 options that have calorie smart or keto, protein plus, like anything you can imagine, and 60 different add-ons every week. So I had all of these different juice, tiny little juice bottles that had like immune support or ginger and cayenne, like snacks, beverages, like all kinds of things. Because throughout the day, when James and I are working at home, a healthy gourmet meal is like one of the last things on our mind. With Factor, you can get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, so you can get back to what you love this spring. Factor has gourmet meals that feature things like shrimp or truffle butter, broccolini, asparagus. Like, these aren't just your kind of run-of-the-mill meals. They are no fuss, no mess, and they're delicious. Factor is tailored to your schedule, so you can customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need, so you can pause or reschedule the deliveries based on what you have going on. Head to factormeals.com/madeforthis50 and use code madeforthis50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code madeforthis50 at factormeals.com/madeforthis50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Right after, if actually, me and Charlie were sitting and just like reflecting on the last, man, like 2-3 years, and a lot has happened. And there was something that Catherine Wolfe said at IF that was so beautiful. It was at the end of her talk, and she was talking about right after the stroke happened, she was just able to type what she was trying to communicate to her
so
family.
Powerful.
Ugh, like, if you didn't listen, this is, you just need to hear it again. But she was, would type, she couldn't eat or anything like that and couldn't speak. And all that she had was a pad, and she would just type, "I'm the same on the inside," over and over again, trying to tell her family that, like, she was in there. Ugh. And at the end of her talk, she was just talking about how sitting there today, you know, how long was it ago? Can you think of since the stroke?
15 years, maybe more.
Yeah. Gosh, she just teared up as she was just saying, like, I'm not the same on the inside. And I actually love who I am now. And I wouldn't undo it. And because I love who I've become. But gosh, I can promise you that that didn't happen for Catherine by muscling it through. Yeah. Like there's so much grief in that. And and Charlie was just talking about that. And just talking about our last 3 years. And I think we can tend to look back before hard things happened and like kind of idealize some version of ourselves that feels more put together or healthier or things like that. And then when we're walking through hard things, man, we just feel so weak in some ways. And he was just talking about how he's like, man, like I'm not the same on the inside and I might never look like that person again. And yet I'm still down and I'm still feel weak, but I'm more free than before. And I'm glad that I'm not the same on the inside. And I just thought that was so powerful as we're doing this. And as you're talking about, like, this isn't just to stay stagnant in what we're feeling, but like there's a beauty in Kurt Thompson was talking about it of like the goal. This isn't some like we've arrived point. Like there's never a point that you're going to get to in this where you're like, okay, like I've been through it. I've been refined. Like
It's over.
But he was just saying like the goal is this like becoming more human. And it's a, kind of an abstract thing, but it's that wholeheartedness, human in the way that God intended it to be, like that we're in right relationship with God.
Right.
And I think so often me not feeling my emotions, I'm almost trying to be God. Like I'm trying to be perfect and immovable and without weakness or flaw and all the things. And I think just something in like acknowledging my limits and that so much of my emotions are being confronted with that and then falling into that. Remembrance of just who God is and who I am. And that perspective is so, so helpful in sitting with God and persisting and just sitting there feeling free to feel what I'm feeling in my humanity.
So yesterday, did you feel free in that?
Yeah, I did. After, I think I really needed to cry. And that, you know, that might not be how some of y'all process emotions. Like that truly isn't it for everybody. But I felt a lot better. I mean, it was ugly, but it was good. And I walked out of it and truly felt so much more free. And yeah, like that wholeness that like God's intending that ultimately we're only going to reach once we get to heaven and we're fully restored. But yeah, and in the mess of all of it, it's just so like God to use all of that mess in the restoration process, you know?
One of the things, you know, there's always been this idea in Christianity. I've heard it preached multiple times or something to this version of, you're going to see your life in a movie and like your life's going to be judged. And there is definitely scripture that kind of leads you to believe that we're going to watch our lives and we'll take account for how we've lived. And Kurt Thompson said something so great in one of our sessions. He said, maybe that is more like this work where it's like, rather than give an account, like you were wrong and you need to pay for this because there's grace.
Right.
And it's been paid for. What if it was more like, you need to heal here?
Yeah.
Like, let's go back and let's talk about this moment that you felt like I was far away.
Mm-hmm.
And like, let's go give an account for this moment. Mm-hmm. And let's go back to it and relive that. And you see how near I was to you. Because so much of God's heart in our suffering is to be near it to us. And it's what he did on earth through Jesus over and over and over again. He was near to the brokenhearted. And it's what the Holy Spirit does. He draws near to the brokenhearted and he even helps pray when we can't pray. And so you see this compassionate God that moves toward brokenness and difficulty. He's not afraid of it. I don't know. I thought it was a lovely thought. I have no idea. I expect none of us do really can imagine what it will be like when we face God. But I do know that ultimately he is a God of healing and he is a God of restoration. It is what he is in the business of doing. And I know he wants to do it for you. I know he wants to do it for me. I know he wants to move into the places that feel untouchable, that feel impossibly broken, and to meet you in it. And it is his way and it's his heart.
Yeah. And it's just, it's that replacement narrative of like, we really believe like that movie. It's like, it's going to be like, you should have done better.
Punishment.
Like we really, like it's that. And that's a part of us that doesn't want to feel it. We just want to suck it up and do better. Like we just want to do better.
That's how the world works. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And yet, yeah, I just think when I look back at, like I look back at dating, for example, and boundaries and such a hard thing. And anytime that I would, you know, we would maybe cross a boundary and kiss for too long or whatever, you know, boundary. That's such another conversation. But for the sake of all the things, you know, like my heart is, I just want to do better and I want to be pure and do this well. But I think that I was so controlling and held on to it so tight. And I look back at it, and my biggest regret when I look back at our dating life is that I let those moments cause me to hide from God in shame.
Yes.
Rather than being with him.
That's what we're talking about.
Rather than this, like, I thought I would look back and be like, you know, I messed up and I regret messing up in these ways. When really it was like, no, I'm so sad that I think the enemy's greatest victory in that was that in my shame in that, it led me to hide from God.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, we're on this side of the cross and we understand the mercy of God. We understand it. We saw it on the cross. We saw it. Prior to the cross, they were still banking on that mercy, right? Like he speaks of that mercy and they were banking on the cross that was to come. Mm-hmm. But we get to look back at the cross and we know that it is finished. Yeah. We know that he paid for it. Mm-hmm. And we know that when we mess up, that's who we go to. When we feel shame, that's who we go to. When we feel sad, that's who we go to. Mm-hmm. When we feel mad, that's who we go to. And I think that's the kind of relationship that I wish for every single one of you. I hope that there's a part of you that listens to this podcast because that's what you crave. Mm. Because you look at my life, you look at the people I have on the show, and you're like, I want their God. I want a God that's full of that much grace, that's full of that much compassion, that makes me feel safe, that makes me feel seen, that makes me feel loved. I want a God like that because that is who he is. Yeah. And wherever you picked up the message that he is a God to be afraid of, that is absent of the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died so that we wouldn't have to be afraid of God. The fear of him is meant to be a respect. It is meant to be, wow, he is powerful, but man, he likes me. He loves me. This powerful God, this awe-striking God that I could and should run from because he's so powerful and holy and perfect. He actually likes me and he loves me and he wants a relationship with me. It's just mind-blowing.
And if you're on the other side of that, where you really feel aware that God likes you, but you feel like you're not moving and you're not growing and walking in obedience, it probably is like that awareness of God's bigness and that fear. It says the beginning of wisdom or knowledge is the fear of God. And I remember it was a season of apathy and I knew that God loved me, but I wasn't like acting in accordance to who God was and what he called me to do. I just wrote it on my hand. And like, ask God, would you grow a fear of you in me? And that was so transformative. And so I would just say that too, if you feel like you're like, man, I just feel like I'm not moving towards like greater conformity to who God is or in action, I just would say, ask God for that. Like, would I see you closer to how big and
powerful and
powerful? Yes. And
how much
and
all this matters. Yeah.
Yes.
Do you know that Jenny has a YouTube and we post videos up all the time? And so go to youtube.com and search Jenny Allen. We'll make sure to post it in the show notes as well. Share it with your friends. Pass it along to someone today. And we're so glad you guys were here. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Made for This podcast.